In the gospel reading today, as St. Peter says to our Lord, we have left all to follow you. We have to recognize that in any vocation to which God calls us, there is always a sacrifice. There is something that is very good that must be given up, whatever that may be. If you're called to be married, that means giving up the freedom, if you want to think of it that way, of being single. If you're called to the religious life, it means literally giving up everything, walking away from family, walking away from everything. If you're called to the priesthood, it is to walk away from marriage and the beauty of married life and of children and so on. There is a sacrifice in anything that God calls us to. And that becomes important to recognize because each one of us in our own state in life is called to be able to die to self. We have to live according to the state in life to which God has called us, and at the same time, we have to all die to self in order to live ultimately for God. If you're called to married life, it's to live for also that other person and the children that come from that union. And so we see that, and it becomes important as we look at some of our new scandals that are coming up these days. And we look at what's going on as things are being exposed. And we're at the point where, quite honestly, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if this is the case or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if the number one source of income for the United States bishops is the United States government. They have received billions, literally with a B, of dollars from the government. Some of it for very good purposes, to feed the poor, to take care of people, and so on. Some of it for very illicit purposes. And the sad thing is that you have to wonder, as you look at all of that money coming in, you have to wonder if this is why the bishops have been so silent when it comes to sacrilege, when it comes to politicians who are in absolute opposition to the faith, saying that it's okay to kill babies and saying that all these rotten things that they're involved in, but it's okay for them to receive Holy Communion. And we can't tell them that they can't. And these are somehow uber Catholics. They're devout Catholics. Those are the words that are literally used about these people. They're devout Catholics. No, they're not. But they're giving us billions of dollars. But you notice that when it comes to cutting off the money, oh my goodness, boom, they are right there to be able to say this is wrong. It's like, really? It wasn't wrong that people who are in the objective state of mortal sin, that they would commit sacrilege against Jesus. But when we cut off the money, then we're going to speak up. You can't serve God and mammon. A choice was made. The choice, tragically, was not God. Have we given up everything to follow the Lord? I was thinking about this the other day. Thankfully, this isn't an indictment of any of the bishops who are alive today. Back at the time of the Second Vatican Council, there was a group of bishops who, kind of in the middle of the night, snuck down into the catacombs. And a whole bunch of them signed a document that said that they would never again wear beautiful vestments at Mass. They would get rid of all of the trappings of anything that was beautiful because we had to be a church of the poor. And those same bishops, some of them, turned right around when bishops' conferences were made, and they built a new building for themselves out in Washington, D.C., made out of marble. So we have to be poor when it comes to Jesus, but when it comes to me, no, 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 I want the best. It reminds me of that garbage that happened back in the 70s and 80s and 90s when the priests removed the Blessed Sacrament from the church and put his own chair right where Jesus was. Because we need to get rid of the Lord, but I need to be up in his place. It's all about me. It amazes me when you look at the people who have really lived poverty, the saints who chose poverty and truly lived it. When it came to the vestments they wore, when it came to the church building, when it came to the things of God, only the best. Because this was for the Lord. If it's about me, nope, I'll wear rags, I'll live poverty, I'll eat poorly, I don't care about me. But for the Lord, no, we want only the best. Now we look at what's going on in the church today. And we have to have nothing for Jesus, but for me, only the best. What a bunch of garbage. Peter said, Lord, we have left all to follow you. I'm not seeing that right now in the very people who supposedly have left all to follow him. They're supposed to be serving him and they're serving themselves. They are in love with money. And St. Paul had something to say about that. The love of money is the root of all evil. You have to have money in order to survive in a society like ours. You have to pay the bills, you have to deal with all that stuff. I understand all that. I'm not opposed to that. But when money becomes more important than God, when standing up because the money is being cut off and complaining about that, when we do not say a word when people violate Jesus Christ, I have a real problem with that. We've got our priorities all mixed up. Money and reputation are what are most important. The salvation of souls, that's down the list quite a ways. Service of our Lord? Yeah, we give lip service. But where are our hearts? Sadly, oftentimes far from him. From the very people who have supposedly dedicated themselves to his service. It's something that I need to look at in my own life. It's something that every priest and bishop should look at. Am I really serving the Lord? Is it the best for me, but not for him? He is God. I'm supposed to be his servant. We've got this flip backwards. Somehow we want to live as the master, and he can be the servant. We're here to serve him. We are to leave everything behind to serve him. And let's admit it as well. Not talking about you guys, I'm talking about the priests. We have failed miserably. It's a scandal. And I think, this is just my opinion, we'll see, I think we have only seen the tip of the iceberg. I think this is going to get a whole lot worse. So brace yourself. But this is necessary. This is actually really good. Because the scandal's been going on for a long time. Again, we have to make clear there are some things that there's nothing wrong with. If it's helping to feed the poor, if it's taking care of people in need, I don't have a problem with that. Still have a problem with the government giving them all that money, because that's supposed to be the church's job, not the government's job. But at least it's being given to feed the poor and take care of people who are in need. But that's not all of what's going on. And so St. Peter told us, that the purification begins in the house of God. And then it goes out from there. That's why this is essential. The morality issues had to be exposed. That was the worst of all the scandals. That was 20 years ago. Now we've got the money issues. Another scandal. Who knows what else is coming? All this needs to happen for the church to be purified, for the church ultimately be prepared for her crucifixion. It's necessary. Now, as we watch all these things happen, we have to look at what is our response. We need to remain faithful to Jesus. 20 years ago, lots and lots of people left the church because some despicable priests have violated children. How disgusting that is. But you don't leave Jesus because his priest did something stupid. And the same thing here. If the bishops have been playing games with the money and with the government and whatever else, if they've been doing things that are illegal and immoral with the money, don't walk away from Jesus just because those people did something stupid. Any more than we walk away from the church because Judas betrayed the Lord. He put money in front of Jesus. Things haven't changed, have they? So the scandals have been there since the time of our Lord. One of his own apostles did that to him. But everybody else remained faithful. So now we have some of the successors of the apostles who are doing what Judas did. The rest of us need to remain faithful. And as we look at all of this, yes, we have to acknowledge it is absolutely wrong. But then we just have to look back at ourselves and say, you know what? I've done a lot of really stupid things too. I have to condemn the sin, have to be merciful to the sinner. If they fall and prey to temptation, who of us can say, so have I, in whatever ways, maybe not those ways. Maybe you didn't have billions of dollars at your disposal to fall into temptation with, but you know what your own sins are. And all you have to do is say, yep, I've fallen in these ways. So if God can be merciful to me, he can be merciful to them. And we need to pray for them. They are still our bishops. They are still the leaders of the church. And we need them to be holy so the rest of us can be. And thanks be to God for exposing these things so that maybe it can bring about some humility. Maybe it can bring about some real poverty. That they will truly leave all things behind to follow Jesus. This might be the means of conversion. What a blessing that would be for the church, for them, save their own souls and countless others. So we can condemn the sin, and we must. Don't condemn the people, because we don't know. We don't know what's there, and of course it's not all of the bishops doing this. Most of them maybe don't even have a clue that it's happening. If they're running their diocese, they're busy with all their own stuff. So we need to be careful. So pray for them. At the same time, rejoice that the evil is being exposed so the church can be purified. And as that happens, know that God is going to purify each one of us too. Part of it is that purification is the test of our faith. In the midst of the scandals, will we remain faithful?